Unreserved Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna, of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of a chariot in his hand, can know the Creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. Please repeat after me. Only those
who render
unreserved.
Uninterrupted.
Favorable service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna,
who carries the wheel of a chariot
in his hand,
can know the Creator of the universe
in his full glory,
power
and transcendence. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Only the pure devotees can know the transcendental name, form and activities of Lord Krishna due to their being completely free from the reactions of fruitive work and mental speculation. The pure devotees have nothing to derive as personal profit from their unalloyed service to the Lord. They render incessant service to the Lord spontaneously without any reservation. Everyone within the creation of the Lord is rendering service to the Lord indirectly or directly. No one is an exception to this law of the Lord. Those who are rendering service indirectly, being forced by the illusory agent of the Lord, are rendering service unto Him unfavorably. But those who are rendering service unto Him directly under the directions of His beloved agent are rendering service unto Him favorably. Such favorable servitors are devotees of the Lord. And by the grace of the Lord, they can enter into the mysterious region of transcendence by the mercy of the Lord. But the mental speculators remain in darkness all the time. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord Himself guides the pure devotee towards the path of realization due to their constant engagement in the loving service of the Lord in spontaneous affection. That is the secret of entering into the kingdom of God. Fruitive activities and speculation are no qualification for entering. Saveda dhatu padavim parasa duranta virjasa rathanga pane jyomayaya santatayanu vritta bhajeta tatpadu saruja gandham. Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of the Lord, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, can know the Creator of the universe in his full glory, power and transcendence. Yesterday we were discussing that how it is actually not possible to understand Krishna. The living entities, those who have fallen in the material nature, those who have become bound by the material nature, it is not at all possible for them to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And even the ones, those who are situated in the spiritual platform, they also cannot perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless and until the Lord decides to reveal Himself to them. And the criterion for perceiving the Lord is simply love for the Lord. Premanjana churita bhukti vilochanena santa sadaiva ridayeshu vilokayanti. When our eyes become anointed with the love of the Lord, with the love for the Lord. Prema means love, anjana means mascara. And when we put on the mascara of the love of the Lord in our eyes, when our eyes become anointed with the love of the Lord, then only we can see the Lord with our vision of devotion. Bhakti bilochanena. Lochan means eyes and bhakti means devotion. So bhakti bilochanena, with the vision of devotion. Unless and until one perceives the Lord with devotion, the Lord
is not going to be visible to us. Actually, the Absolute Personality reserves the right to whom he will become visible and to whom he will remain invisible. To whom he will show himself and to whom he is not going to show himself. That right he has. We cannot demand that God has to show himself to us. Nobody can actually demand that. What to talk about God? Even the head of the states do not make themselves visible to common men. Can anybody see the head of the state at any time? Who is the head of the state in Switzerland? Who is the president of Switzerland?
There are seven.
Huh? There are seven. Just name one.
Egli.
So can anybody see Egli at any time? Can anyone say that, well, I want to see Egli, and you can enter into his palace and get his audience? No. I mean, you can see even just a mundane leader of a state does not allow himself to be seen by everyone. So what to talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead? We cannot possibly demand that God will have to show himself to us. People say that God, if we can't see God, we don't believe in God. Big deal. I mean, if you don't see God, if you don't want to see God, who is the loser? If you can't develop a relationship with God, then who is the loser? You or him? If we develop a loving relationship with the Lord, then we benefit. It is for our benefit that we must desire to see him, to know him, and to understand him. Now, the people, those who are intelligent, they want to see him. I remember in early 70s, actually it was 69, I think, George Harrison came up with a song, "I Really Want to See You, My Lord, My Sweet Lord." And that is the thing, that everybody, actually he wrote that song after he came in contact with Prabhupada. That album was actually dedicated to, I mean, it was very highly influenced by Prabhupada. And George Harrison is still a devotee. Our temple in London is actually his house, the Bhaktivedanta Manor. So, an intelligent man, especially when he comes in contact with a pure devotee, he automatically becomes desirous to see the Lord. But it is not possible to see the Lord by our own desire or by our own demand. We cannot say that, God, please allow me to see you. Even this kind of demand also we cannot make. So ultimately a devotee has to leave it up to him. And Prabhupada often used to say that we actually do not want to see God. We simply want to act in such a way that God sees us. That is what is important. Actually, God has appeared. Krishna has appeared in front of our eyes. He has appeared in the form of his deities. But how often do we recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Although Krishna has appeared, but we cannot see him, we cannot recognize him. Because our eyes are tuned to enjoyment. And our eyes want to see everything in relation to our enjoying mood. Our eyes want to see things, and immediately eyes begin to calculate, or mind begins to measure, that how much I'm going to enjoy this. Like, that's why everybody is interested to look at beautiful things. But whenever there is something ugly or something vicious, he doesn't want to see it. Why? Because he has a natural propensity to enjoy something that is beautiful, and he has a natural aversion to something that is ugly. Because beautiful things he can enjoy, but ugly things he cannot enjoy. So that's why he doesn't want to see anything that's ugly.
But that is a materialistic vision. That is called the vision of duality. We are always calculating, am I going to enjoy this or am I not going to enjoy this? That's why in the material platform everyone is trying to look at everything with a vision of enjoyment. But we cannot possibly see Krishna with that vision. Krishna is not an object of our enjoyment. Actually, we are the objects of Krishna's enjoyment. We are not bhokta. We are not the enjoyers, but we are the enjoyed. So, but still, very mercifully, Krishna has manifested himself in front of our eyes in the form of a deity. But that deity form of the Lord does not become active in front of our eyes. Since our vision is contaminated, we cannot see the Lord as He is. But when our eyes become anointed with the love for the Lord, then we'll be able to see the Lord in His transcendental Satchidananda Vigraha, in His transcendental form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Not otherwise. Like, we have the form of Lord Jagannath in front of our eyes in the picture in the altar. Now often when people see the form of Lord Jagannath, they can't understand why we are worshipping a form like that. They think it's some kind of primitive worshipping, like the way people used to worship in Africa, some tea trunk or tree trunk or some kind of, or even some forms in Egypt, some animal form or something like that. Now, they think that we are also some kind of primitive, we are cultivating some kind of primitive worship. But we know that this is the form of Lord Jagannath. But still, how much we see Lord Jagannath in that form? We know that these forms are established in our temples, Prabhupada established the deities, and that's why it is our duty to worship. It's more of a sense of duty than anything else that we are worshipping Lord Jagannath, Baladeva and Subhadra. It's not quite out of love as such. It is not that we are so much in love with Lord Jagannath that we cannot resist that desire to serve His lotus feet. And also, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Lord Jagannath, and the tears used to stream down his eyes, and he used to become mad in ecstasy, mad in love for Lord Jagannath. Now we can see that there are differences of vision. Like a person in ignorance, he cannot figure out who that is. Person with little knowledge, he has some kind of understanding that this is the form of the Lord, and he worships Him. But a pure devotee, a self-realized soul, who has developed a loving relationship with the Lord, he sees the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya, the person, the Supreme Person who enchants the millions and trillions of Cupids. One Cupid enchants the whole universe. The whole universe is enchanted by one Cupid. And millions of such Cupids have been enchanted by the beauty of the Lord. The so beautiful is the form of the Lord. But with our material eyes, we see the defect. We see that it's a half complete, it's a very strange form. So that's what we have to understand to begin with, that we cannot possibly get to see the Lord with our material vision. With our material eyes, we can simply see matter and nothing else. But we have to see the Lord with our spiritual eyes. Actually, material eyes are the extensions of spiritual eyes. Right?
The spiritual eyes are there, that's where the material eyes can perceive. The material eyes in itself cannot see anything. It's like a pair of glasses. Like as soon as the glasses are tuned up to the eyes, that we can see through the glasses. Right? But if you put the glass aside, can your glasses see? You can't say, well, now you hold the glass like this and see what is there. It is actually an extension only to our vision. And your glasses may be in front of your eyes, but if you close your eyes, can your glasses see? Glass is just an aid to see something. So who actually sees? It is our spiritual eyes that see. It is our spirit soul that experiences all the things that we are going through in the material nature. Our senses, we may think that through our body we are experiencing. Yes, through our body we are experiencing. But the body in itself cannot experience anything. Like we notice when we fall asleep, when we become unconscious, then the body keeps functioning. Body breathes, the lungs breathe, the heart pumps the blood and purifies the blood. Every single part of the body functions. But still, we do not register anything. Why? Because the spirit is withdrawn from the body. The spirit is not influencing the body anymore, any longer. That's why we do not experience anything. Only when the spirit withdraws, when the spirit soul withdraws, then all our experiences also come to a standstill. We do not register any more experiences. That's the state of deep sleep. Now if body could be active by itself, then why we cannot experience what is happening around us when we are asleep? Because the body cannot experience anything by itself. It is the spirit that makes the body register different experiences. The spirit projects the consciousness through different senses. And the body receives the impressions of the objects of the senses. That is what our material existence is like. So, since we have projected our consciousness materially, we are simply experiencing the material objects. We cannot experience anything beyond that. But when we withdraw ourselves from the material objects, material nature, which is the external energy of the Lord, but when we project ourselves towards the Lord, then what happens? When we project our consciousness towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what happened? Then we become situated in the spiritual platform. To be situated in the spiritual platform means to become connected to the Lord, to project our consciousness towards the Lord. That's why the process that we are practicing is called Krishna consciousness. What is the condition of our consciousness now in the material nature? We are materially conscious, or we are Maya conscious. We are simply conscious of the external material nature. But when we project our consciousness onto Krishna, then automatically we become Krishna conscious. Because consciousness has the facility or the ability to understand and perceive. Now when we project our consciousness onto Krishna, then we can understand Krishna. But when we project our consciousness away from Krishna, then there is no way we can understand Krishna. So the point here is that in order to approach Krishna, we have to become Krishna conscious. We have to project our consciousness directly to Krishna. But there is a group of people, those who want to approach Krishna or the Absolute Truth through the material nature. Their consciousness is projected externally, and from their external consciousness, they want to understand the spiritual personality of Godhead. So that doesn't work. If you want to look, if you want to understand Krishna, then you have to look at Krishna. You cannot look at the material nature and try to understand Krishna. Will that be possible? If you look at the material nature and try to understand Krishna, is it possible? Yes or no?
No.
If no, then further I'll ask one thing, is that what actually happens to the people, those who want to understand Krishna by looking externally? What are they called to begin with? They are called jnanis. Jnanis. They are actually trying to understand the Absolute by their limited means of knowledge. And that knowledge is material knowledge. By material knowledge, they want to understand the Spiritual Absolute. And it doesn't work. And the ultimately, at the most, they can understand the Brahma Jyoti, which is the cause of the material creation. Right? The spiritual cause of material creation. That much they can go. That far they can go. They can't go any further. So that's why the jnanis end up in Brahma realization. The ultimate destination of a jnani is Brahma realization. Realizing the spiritual energy of the Lord, the bodily effulgence of the Lord. That's the most they can go. Now, when a person by means of external endeavor comes to this dead end of realizing the Brahma Jyoti, and if he is intelligent enough, then what he would do? He doesn't do it directly, actually. No. No, when a person, say for instance, you wanted to understand something, right? And in order to understand, you go to one direction. And then you come to the end of the direction, right? And there you feel that, well, there is a big cliff and you can't go any further, right? Then what you do? You change your direction, right? Right, backwards. So, by the jnanis are making an endeavor in the external direction. They are going out and trying to understand the Absolute, right? So, and then they come to that dead end, Brahma Jyoti, right? They cannot go any further. So then they realize that I was trying to understand the Absolute, but here I have just got caught up with a partial manifestation of the Absolute, the energy of the Absolute, right? So how can I possibly get to know the Absolute? So, he turns inward. From external, he becomes internal, right? At the highest perfection of the external endeavor, a person who is rightly situated, he becomes internally involved. And what is that internal involvement?
You know?
Very good, yeah. Ashtanga Yoga. The Yoga is the process of internal realization, right? And then what is the attainment of the perfection, the perfected stage of yoga? When one becomes perfect in his yoga practice. Yes?
Bhakti yoga.
No.
Realizing this non-personal.
Very good. By becoming perfect in his yoga meditation, or by Ashtanga Yoga, Eightfold Yoga process, he perceives the Super Soul in the heart. Right? And then when one sees the Super Soul in the heart, then what happens?
There can happen two things. One can identify oneself with the Paramatma, or one can develop love for the Paramatman and attitude of service, and then he goes to Vaikuntha.
Yeah. So, which out of these two, which one is positive?
when one develops love for the Paramatma.
Yeah. So the thing is, the positive understanding of the Paramatma is that he sees the Paramatma as the supreme spirit, and he recognizes himself as a minute spirit. Recognizes the Lord as the greatest, and he realizes himself to be the minutest, then he just surrenders himself to the Lord. And that surrender leads to devotion. You are right, but they missed one stage in between. So that surrender leads to devotional service. Right? So when you begin to render devotional service, then what happens? Then you develop a love for Krishna. As we surrender devotional service to the Lord, we develop our love for the Lord. And when the love becomes so intense, when the love reaches its peak or perfection, then Krishna cannot stay away from us. Then Krishna comes running to the devotee. And that is the time the devotee sees Krishna, and that is the time the devotee develops a relationship with Krishna. And that is the time his spiritual form becomes revealed. So that is the most important thing. And that's why in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, it has been described that there are three ways of perceiving the Absolute Truth. Who knows the shloka? Very good. And what's the meaning? Who will say the meaning of that shloka?
Learn transcendentally to realize the known dual absolute truth through the three teachers, Brahman,
Paramatma. Right. Very good. Right. So who sees the Brahman? The Brahma realization is the lowest realization of the Absolute. Right. Of course, below that Brahma realization, there is another kind of realization of the Absolute Truth. That is when one sees the Lord staying in the material platform with an enjoying mood. How does everyone see the Absolute Truth? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the people, those who don't believe in him, those who do not accept him as the Absolute Truth, then how does Krishna appear to him? As death. So that is one absolute truth that everybody has to admit. Right? Like, ultimately everybody has to die. So that is the absolute truth, the ultimate truth that everybody is aware of. Right? Absolute truth means the truth that is that is there without any doubt. Right? Nobody can have any doubt about death. Although no one wants to die, but everybody will have to die. That's the absolute truth for everyone. Especially those who do not want to accept the spiritual path. But then when one accepts the spiritual path, but he makes an endeavor to understand the Absolute by material means, by material knowledge, they end up in understanding the Absolute Truth as Brahma Jyoti. Those who are a little more elevated than these jnanis, they are called the yogis, and they understand the Absolute Truth as the Super Soul. And then the highest transcendentalists, the devotees, they understand the absolute truth as Bhagavan. Brahmeti paramatmeti Bhagavan iti saptati. So we are very fortunate to be directly elevated to the devotional platform. We did not have to practice the process of jnana, the process of Ashtanga Yoga. We have simply accepted the process of devotional service. And just by
accepting this process, we can realize that we already have transcended those two lower platforms. So that's why Krishna, after explaining about the yoga system in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, the yoginam upi sarvesham madgatena antaratmanah shraddhavan bhajate yoginam same yukto tamomata. Out of all the yogis who are actually trying to become linked up with the Lord, the yoga means the process of linking up. So out of all these yogis, those who are endeavoring to become linked up with the Lord, one who is rendering devotional service to the Lord with love and devotion should be considered as the greatest of all yogis, because he actually has transcended the perfected stage of yoga and has attained this platform of devotional service. So that's why when one becomes situated in the devotional service, it has to be understood that he is situated in the most elevated platform of transcendental practices. And that is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Mahaprabhu came and he gave the highest thing of the spiritual nature to the most degraded human being. Actually, the people of this age of Kali are the most degraded people. Therefore, yugas, the time in its greater dimension, moves in a cycle of four yugas: Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. That is how the time moves, the way the time moves from minutes to hours, from hours to days, from days to weeks, from weeks to months, months to seasons, and then to years. So this way the time always moves in a cycle. So in a greater dimension, the time moves in a cycle of yugas, of Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. Now, the people of the age of Kali are most degraded. The people, those who are very attached to material life, materialistic life, they get a chance to come to the material nature during the time of Kali Yuga. Actually, more pious people, that is, more detached, more materially detached people are born in Satya Yuga. In Satya Yuga, the living entities are almost pure. They are almost perfectly pure. They have a little bit of contamination. But as the time moves and it comes to Treta Yuga, people become more contaminated. But still, they are quite pious, or very pious actually. Then as the time moves further and Dwapar Yuga comes, then people become even more contaminated. And then finally, when it comes to Kali Yuga, people are most contaminated. So we can see that how degraded people are of this age. Very, very degraded. So the most degraded people of Kali Yuga received the greatest benediction of the Lord in the form of Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and offered us this process of Krishna consciousness and elevated us directly onto the topmost platform of spiritual activities, devotional service. Now one may question, why is that? Why most fallen people got such wonderful benediction? That has been explained as the Lord being the Supreme Father, He is the most compassionate towards His children. And especially the children, those who are most incompetent, the most unable, the father's love for him becomes most intensely manifest. The father and mother take care of the weakest child the most. when the son is grown up and can take care of himself, then the parents don't really care so much for him. They do care, but not so much as the weakest or the youngest son. The youngest and weakest son, especially when he suffers from some disease, some high fever, then the parents become extremely concerned about him. So the most degraded, the most fallen, the weakest children of the Lord, the people of this age of Kali, that's why have received the greatest mercy from the Lord. The Lord has appeared in his most munificent incarnation, Lord Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he has given the most wonderful benediction. Krishna himself has appeared as his own devotee, and he distributed the love for the Lord, and that is the most wonderful benediction of this age of Kali. Anarpita chodin chirat korunaya butirna kalo. The thing that the Lord has never have given before. Anarpita, arpan means to offer or to give, and anarpita means that hasn't been given before. Chodin chirat, chirat means ever. Korunaya avatirna kalo. He has appeared in the age of Kali out of his causeless mercy, Koruna. And what is that wonderful benediction? What is that wonderful gift that the Lord has given to this age of Kali? Samarpayito munnato jalo rasam shabhakti sriyam. He offered the unnato ujjalo rasam shabhakti sriyam. He offered his devotion in the most elevated mellow. As it is, the devotion is hidden. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is telling, Raja Vidya Raja Vidyam. Just before explaining devotional service, Krishna says, the Raja Vidya, that's the king of knowledge, and Raja Vidyam, it's the most secret of all knowledge. Krishna keeps that knowledge very secret. He doesn't give it generally. And that devotion, which is the Raja Vidya and Raja Guccham, the most secret of all knowledge, is not only giving that, Lord Chaitanya is not only giving that, he is giving that devotion in the highest mellow of conjugal love. Samarpayitum unnato ujjalo rasam. What Mahaprabhu gave is the Krishna prem in the mood of Radharani, in the mood of the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan, which is the highest, the most elevated mood of devotional service. So Mahaprabhu came and offered that. That mellow of conjugal love is called Ujjalaras. So Samarpayitum Unnato, Unnato means very elevated, and Ujjala Rasa, Sabhakti Sriyam. Hari Purata Sundara Duti Kadamba Sandipita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has the complexion which is blackish. Of course, it's not blackish according to any material understanding. It's a transcendental complexion. And it has been compared, I mean, nothing is in the material nature is actually similar to that complexion of the Lord. But the closest we can think of is the monsoon cloud, the complexion of monsoon cloud and the lightning in it. The spark of the color of lightning that flashes in the monsoon cloud, that is the complexion of the Lord. Navanirada nindita kanti dharam rasa sagara nagara. That is the complexion of the Lord. And that the Lord who has that complexion, he has appeared in a molten golden complexion. Hari Purata Sundara Duti Kadamba Sandhita. Purata Sundara Duti. Duti means effulgence or the complexion. And this time the Lord has appeared not in his blackish complexion. He has appeared in his molten golden complexion. And that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahabharata also describes Shubarna Varuna Hemanga Varangas Channa Nandadi. Shubarna Varna. Suvarna means golden. The Lord appears in the age of Kali in a molten golden complexion. And Shannasha Kritchama Shanta, he appears in the age of Kali, the Lord appears, the Lord who is the supreme enjoyer, he takes up the order of renunciation in this pastime. So that's another wonderful aspect of the Lord. The Lord who is the supreme proprietor and the supreme enjoyer, he becomes the supreme renunciate. And that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should be very, very thankful to the Lord that we so fortunately have received this wonderful benediction. Just although we have been born in a very, very degraded atmosphere, in a very, very degraded time, this age of Kali is actually very sinful, very degraded age. Deliberately or by the force of circumstances, everyone is fallen in this age. Like, say for instance, in the Western countries, in Europe and America, practically all over the world today, people are just eating meat. They're slaughtering cows and eating meat. And it's a very, very sinful thing to do. But they have been forced to do that. There is no way out. Just because of being born in this age of Kali, people are eating meat and getting involved in all kinds of sinful activities. But we have got this opportunity of receiving this devotional service from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this line of Krishna consciousness. That is another wonderful aspect of this age of Kali. It has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam that Kalir dose nidhe rajan asti hi eko mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasa mutta sanga param brajet. Kalir dose nidhe rajan. This age of Kali is actually an ocean of sinful activities. This age of Kali is an ocean of sinful activities. But in this most degraded time, there is one great benediction. Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of sinful activities, but it has a great benediction. That is what? Kirtana Deva Krishna Mukta Sangha Parangraje. Just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can become freed from material bondage. In one hand, we are in a very, very dangerous situation, a very degraded situation. But on the other hand, we have got a very easy means to get out of the degraded condition. Anyway, we thank our lucky stars and we thank Prabhupada that we have been saved. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Does anybody have any question?
It is said that in the body there are 118 nadis or channels by which the soul passes at the time of death. So the karmi, the jnani yogi, how do they leave the body and what is their destination? Because Vishnu Bhatti said in one lecture that everyone goes to the moon planet. Is that for these three causes or meant for that? Or is it everyone?
So the karmis, they are susceptible to their activities, right? The results of their activities, and accordingly they will either go down or go up. Right? Good karma will take them upwards, bad karma will take them downwards.
Right? Now, jnanis and yogis generally go upwards, right? Because they are, you see, they are withdrawn from the material nature. So for them, there is no question of going down, generally. Now, I'm not talking about the fallen ones, right? I'm talking about the genuine ones. And generally what they do, both the jnanis and yogis, jnanis also ultimately come into the yoga practice. They do practice yoga. Only the goal is a little different, right? And generally they master the art of leaving the body, right? And so they leave their body at a specific time, the right time. And generally they leave their body the time of Uttarayan, when the sun moves on the northern direction. Northerly direction. And then by leaving their body at that time, the path to the upper planets open up, and then they enter into the upper planet, higher planetary systems. Also Jnanis also can do that. You see, by performing austerities, Jnanis are very austere, and they are renounced from their material enjoyments. So they also master this art. The practices oftentimes is the same with the jnanis and yogis. Only the ultimate goal is different, right? Because to be a jnani the jnanis also practice Ashtanga Yoga to some extent. The jnanis also perform great austerities, right? Jnanis also are aware that they are not the body, they are the spirit souls, right? So they can detach their spirit from their body when time comes, right? And they can direct themselves in certain directions according to their plan or will. But a devotee does not really take any care of what time they are going to leave their body and where they are going to go. They are simply surrendered to the Lord. Right? Like the example can be given, you see, the devotees are like children of the Father, the Lord, right? And the way a child, when he is holding the hands of his father, he is fearless, right? Because he knows that his father is going to take care of him. So he doesn't make any specific endeavor for his own welfare. So that's why devotees don't take care of their own welfare, right? They are just surrendered to the Lord, and they know the Lord will take care of them. And the Lord has given the assurance, Krishna has given the assurance in Bhagavad Gita, the yoga kshema bahamma. I'll take care of what he lacks, and I'll provide for what he needs. Often it's said that whenever a devotee is born, that's the best time. And whenever a devotee leaves the body, that's also the best time. Right? So devotee's birth and death are transcendental. Yeah.
What about when the body is burnt, then the soul enters into the vapor, and then from there to the clouds, and then goes to the moon?
That's all karmic thing.
Yeah. What about if the body is burnt, buried in the earth? Does it make any difference?
It is mainly because, you see, the spirit soul, after leaving the body, maintains a certain amount of attachment to the body. Right? And so it is better that the body is destroyed. Because if the body is there, the spirit soul, due to the attachment of the spirit soul, the spirit will try to cling on to the body. Of course, the body will melt, but he'll cling on to the bones. So that's why the Vedic system is just to burn the body. And then not only burn the body, they have a whole scientific process of elevating the spirit to the higher regions. Then they have their Shraddha ceremony. Right? And so this is all, it's a science actually. that even though one may be attached to the material nature, even though one may be sinful and one may slide down to the downwards direction, right? But the system is as such that they can uplift the soul into higher regions just by performing. For one thing is burning the body, then performing different rituals, and then finally the Shraddha ceremony. Right?
What does the son actually do to his parents when he... what kind of ritual does he perform?
Well, the Shraddha has got two... actually there are two different kinds of Shraddha. Three actually. As you know that there are three kinds of activities according to the three modes of nature. Activities in the mode of goodness, activities in the mode of passion, activities in the mode of ignorance. Now, oftentimes nowadays they just follow the Shraddha ceremony in the mode of ignorance or in the Karmakanda section of it. Like, of course, but we Vaishnavas, we reject the Karmakanda section. Like generally in that Karmakanda section what they do, the spirit soul has to traverse a long distance and the journey is very arduous to the abode of Jamaraj, right? And so they provide him with different facilities, right? By offering those things to the Brahmanas. Like sometimes there is burning desert sun and they have to walk, so they offer him an umbrella, right? And they offer him wooden shoes. So this way they provide him facilities for the journey. And then they also offer him different things that he used to like to eat, right? Because he feels thirsty and he feels hungry, right? Because his subtle body is there and all these impressions are there in the subtle body, right? So the spirit, here of course the ghost actually, has the subtle desires, right? And so they offer him with different food and drink and so on and so forth. Well, when due to this performance, they can, you see, in the subtle, that drinking experience takes place in the subtle form, right? But the Vaishnava way of doing it is to offer Krishna prasad to him. Then he generally worships the forefathers. Right? He worships the demigods to help him. He worships the Lord. And then finally, Krishna Prasad, the Prasad of the Lord is offered to him. And just by taking the Krishna Prasad, he goes back to God. Actually, if one follows the Vedic rituals, Vedic practices, it is not very difficult to go back to God. Especially if one takes the Upasana Kanda practice. It is said that when one's body is burnt with tulasi in it, then just because of his contact with tulasi, he goes back to God. Right? When one leaves his body with contact of tulasi, he goes back to God. If the ash of his body is thrown in the Ganges or Jamuna, then he attains the abode of the Lord. Right? There's so many arrangements. Krishna has made wonderful arrangements for the living entities to go back to God. Right? It's not actually very difficult to go back to God. Only thing is that we have to follow it with due understanding and faith. Nowadays most of the people don't have the understanding and most of the people do not also know how to perform. Like they perform the Shraddha ceremony just by some hired brahmanas. The guys, those who do not actually have any understanding. They have it as a profession, right?
Ritual.
Right, rituals. And that's why they do not attain any benefit as such, or required benefit they do not attain. Because if the person who is performing the rites for you, if he himself doesn't know how to perform it, how can you derive the benefit? Can you imagine you get a car and get somebody who doesn't know how to drive the car, and you hire him as a chauffeur? Can you imagine what's going to happen? You just end up with an accident. And that's exactly what happens, you know, when you hire some unqualified Brahmins. Brahmins is not by birth, but it's by qualification. And that's why Prabhupada wanted to make Brahmins all over the world. Because the Brahmins can give the direction and show them the ultimate goal of life.
Does that mean that the soul goes immediately back to Godhead or after some lifetimes?
Immediately.
Immediately.
If it's performed also, properly?
Also if the person who is burned was a sinful person?
Yes, all the sin is burned with him. It is incredible. That's why Lord's mercy is in